Good morning, my friends. Many of you know me as Randy Shubin-Dresner of Island Harvest Food Bank. Well, today, you'll get to know me simply as the host of Conversations with Randy Shubin-Dresner. Today is show number two for us. I'm really excited. Each week, you can hear us on Long Island's own WHLI 104.7 FM and 1100 AM, and wherever you could pick up your podcasts. Today, we're recording from the studio at the Paramount in Huntington, New York. Our sponsors are Island Harvest Food Bank, Long Island's leading hunger relief organization, and Pintail Coffee, the very best tasting coffee you could find anywhere. My friends, I've had the honor and privilege of seeing the world from a unique perspective, meeting people at their best, leaning in to be part of a solution. What I've learned and cherish most is knowing that people care. They really care. And I hope to be able to bring some of that to you through our conversations each week. You know, we certainly live in a very fast-paced community. Here on Long Island, so many decisions are made instantaneously. We often don't have time to stop and appreciate the world around us. When was the last time you really took a minute to enjoy the bagels with your morning coffee? What about watching the sunrise at Jones Beach or just sipping Long Island wine at the vineyards out east? Let's spend 30 minutes with each other and begin to slow down, even if it's for the next 30 minutes. I'm excited to introduce you to our two special guests today who will help me dive into today's topic, building your career and building your family. Is it blending or is it balancing? They're colleagues I've known for a number of years, and I think you'll see why I've asked them to join me to help tackle this topic. First, I'd like to introduce you to Anne Shabunko Moore. She's the CEO and owner of GSE Dynamics, Inc., a Long Island-based U.S. defense manufacturer. GSE provides complex structural assemblies direct to the United States Air Force, Navy, Army, and major aerospace primes. Anne is also the founder and chair of Ignite Long Island and Manufacturing Consortium of Long Island. She is a former appointed member of the National Women's Business Council. Her main advocacy is to promote manufacturing and the need for workforce training to help companies grow. Anne is the mother of four incredible teenage boys, aged 19, 17, 16, and 13. And my friends, I'd like to introduce you to my other friend and colleague, David Curry. Dave is a partner and the real estate practice group leader at Farrell Fritz, representing clients in various loan, purchase and sale, leasing, and other real estate transactions. David has served on the Farmingdale College Council for many years, and in his spare time, he is also the lead singer of Mo Green, a Long Island classic rock band. Friends, I've heard him sing the Star Spangled Banner at several commencement ceremonies, and while that's not rock, he's got an incredible voice. Dave is a very caring person and often lends his time and voice to various nonprofit organizations throughout Long Island. David is the proud father of three children, twin girls, and a son. Hello, David and Anne. I'm so glad to have you both here today.
Thank you so much.
Today we're going to tackle this very important topic, building your career and building your family. Is it balancing or is it blending? You both have lived experiences that could be helpful to many of our listeners as we try to tackle this issue today. Perhaps they could pick up a nugget or two of some of the advice or learn from some of the challenges that you've dealt with. I myself am a single mom of two and someone who worked very hard to build my own career. I often recall that so many people tried to give me advice and telling me how important it was to balance, but I knew that that didn't feel right to me. It was more about blending. And so that's what we'll talk about today. So let's start with Anne. Your kids, I already mentioned the age, four of them, very close in age. I imagine it's been a lot easier in recent years than it was back when they were first young and first born. Tell us a little bit about when you were first building your career and your family. How difficult was that for you?
Sure. Well, thank you again for having me to address this topic. It's definitely a topic that we talk about often, and I would say in the last 20 years, it has evolved, too, in the way that we talk about the blending versus the balancing. And I guess for listeners and for us sort of to create a starting point for this, the balance act, right? You and I, again, have spoken about this. Dave, you and I talked about this. It's an up and down, right? It gives this impression of when one is up, one is down, whether you're thinking about the balance of scales or whether you're talking about a seesaw, right? Up and down.
Yeah.
And clearly for anyone who's balancing work and family, it is definitely not that. It's more seeking balance between the two sides with the blending, right? That, and that's really what you and I are talking about. When one is up, the other one isn't down.
Right, and so when you're dealing with it as a scale and one is up and one is down, that means you're always living in stress.
Right.
Because you're trying to tackle both of them equally and it's just not working.
Exactly, and I think when I first started, so everything is in sync, you know, for me. I joined my father at GSC 20 years ago, and that's also when I started having children. So I grew my company and my children all at the same time. So I learned about this blending concept. But I think what's important also is just how we identify ourselves. In addition, you know, when I'm at work and I'm the CEO, people recognize that I am the CEO, but that I am also a mother of four children. And, you know, until my dad's passing, I was also, you know, taking care of him in his later years. And, of course, a marriage as well. So I think there's more of an acceptance that people are all blending all aspects of their life. And it's more so what you're focusing on at the time and what action you have to take at the time, right? And I think that's an important acknowledgement. When I first went to NABO meetings 20 years ago, or, you know.
I have to explain what
that
NABO is.
Absolutely. That's the National Association of Women Business Owners. It was a unique conversation to have with women who were perhaps in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, right? So I came in at 30, starting my family and carrying a baby and a carrier to these meetings. And it was a little bit of conflict at first because for so many years, these women had tried to break the image right. of a corporate woman with children. And here I am, I walk in with baby in tow, you know, trying to be both at the same time.
Threw them off a little bit.
And that's, but that was the epitome to me of this blending. A corporate woman walked in holding an infant carrier.
Right.
I was blending my business meetings with being a mother, and it really was quite symbolic then of the 20 years to follow and you know, how that blending occurs.
The truth of the matter is that you're a mom 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but you're also the CEO 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so that's this whole concept of blending. You have to really work out tips with your family and with your company mm-hmm. about how to accept and allow the other to sneak in a little
exactly.
bit.
Yeah. And also just to be accessible.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, Dave, you have that same thing that we have going on in terms of being accessible to your family and being accessible to your, you know, whether it's your customer, your employees, or your vendors, and knowing where to draw that line
right.
Of when they can text you and when they can't.
Yeah.
But again, being accessible when you're not with the other group, right?
Right.
Is important.
David, your situation changed dramatically and unexpectedly. Your wife passed away and you found yourself juggling your work, the kids, the house, and grieving. That's a totally different situation, but I think this is something that our listeners could relate to as well. Can you talk a little bit about that and what steps you took to try to find some normalcy?
Sure. First of all, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. It was tough to balance career and family before my wife got sick and passed away. Became exponentially more difficult. I had to lean on a lot of people. But even before that, when it was my wife and I both working full-time, it was a challenge to juggle two careers and kids and make sure that the kids were happy and safe and that we were doing the best job that we could. It's always difficult. And then when my wife passed away, it made it all the more difficult, and I had to juggle and be mom and dad and continue my career. My office was wonderful to me. They gave me all the time that I needed and all of the support that I needed, which is important. You know, the support of the people around you is just of ultimate importance. And I think I had that, and I had a strong base of people to help me, and it definitely helped me a lot.
Yeah. You know, I think it's kind of interesting also because your kids are learning and watching. You know, as a parent, we teach our children sometimes just by modeling behavior. That in itself is our lessons for kids. And I could recall when my daughter was very young, she would play meeting because she only heard me say all the time, I'm in a meeting, I can't talk to you, I'm in a meeting. And so when she would play, it would be playing meeting. And I'm not even sure that she knew exactly what it was, but that was part of her play. And so we learned to work things out. You know, the kids call all the time. You know, mommy, I can't find my crayons or whatever it may be. But we had to learn to come up with some tips. And so when they would call, the first thing that we would say to each other is, I would say, is this important or can I talk to you later? If they said it's important, it had to be important. And we talked about what important meant. It couldn't be about losing the crayons. It had to be something else. And it takes time.
I have that absolute similar experience. I just gave my daughters, who are going into middle school, I gave them cell phones for the first time. So now I have three kids, all with phones, who can text me or call me at any time. And I had that very conversation with them very recently, where we talked about what's important, things like your safety, or is it just that you can't find your crayon? And then establish those rules so that we know, and try to get it to the point where they're not calling as much or texting as much, and they understand that when you reach out to dad while he's at work, it should be something that really demands immediate attention.
Yeah, absolutely. And then on the other side of it as well, the people that you work with have to respect the fact that you're also a parent, and that if the kids call or a sitter calls or the school calls, that you need to be available for that as well. And that's important too. So it's this blending is on both sides and all over the place. It's not just one. For me, it changed dramatically a long time ago, probably in the very early 90s. I was at a meeting with a very high-level CEO of a corporation. It took me a long time to get this appointment with this man. And we were having a great meeting when the telephone rang. It turned out to be one of his kids. And his voice changed. He had the dad's voice on. And he looked at me and asked me for a few minutes. And he took his son through that whole conversation. He was very deliberate and slow and attentive to his child. And at the end of the conversation, he said, I love you, to the child, and then turned to me and just went on with his office voice. And we continued our meeting. But for me, that's what clicked. Mm-hmm. That's what changed everything for me. Because I actually saw it, now again, we're talking about a long time ago, and this was a corporate executive, and it was a man, and he took that time. And I recognized that this wasn't balancing, he was blending. Mm-hmm. And that's what helped me get on my path to do the blending. Sometimes we need a trigger to remember to do those kinds of things. And then it's a training for our families, and as I said before, and the people we work with. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully it works over time. And you just had something happen today,
yes.
Right? It's a classic.
Exactly. And that is what happens, right? My poor son had four wisdom teeth removed and woke up this morning with a high fever, and I had to change my schedule around. But again, that's all part of it, and being able to filter out what's important, what's not important, what's critical today and not critical. And I think that I'm constantly assessing that, right? I'm constantly, yeah. As the environment is changing daily, you're constantly assessing, you know, the priorities of the day, of the week, of the month.
Exactly.
And I think that's something that, again, most of us now have to do that. Of course, technology has made it so that my kids or anyone can reach me via texting, so I often look at my wrist and have to make sure that I'm not being rude.
Right.
But again, to that earlier point, right, if it only text me if it's critical. But also, I mean, what you were saying with that story, too, is such a testament to the changing in corporate culture and understanding the blending. It doesn't matter what gender, right?
Right.
It doesn't matter what gender you are. Everyone has men, women, in whatever position are trying to do this blending. And I think the rules have changed, certainly, even in the way that you greet people. And even with COVID, I think the human part of us, right, the humanity in us, when you walk into a corporate meeting now, you say, how are you? How's your family? Did
right.
everyone do okay? And I think that that's a positive that we're going to pull out of this.
Yeah.
That, again, helps this blending. Because I don't think there was ever so much discussion about how are you? How is your family? Right. As much as right now. And I hope we do hold on a little of that. I think it brings a nice level of relationship building into any corporate meeting. So that, you know, if you're talking about what's a good positive takeaway from this COVID experience as well, I think it contributes to the blending. We're all very real humans getting through this.
We're going to talk more about how COVID impacted this whole blending and balancing right after our break. You're listening to Conversations with Randy Shubin-Dresner. You could listen to this podcast on any platform you find your podcasts. We're going to take a break right now. We'll see you after the break and after you refill your coffee cup with Pintail Coffee, which, by the way, is the best tasting coffee anywhere.
At Pintail Coffee, coffee is their passion, bringing you the perfect cup of coffee every cup, every time. Their strict quality assurance means richer, fuller flavor in every cup. In fact, Pintail's own master roaster is ranked among the top coffee roasters in the country. And Pintail is a Long Island company right here in Farmingdale. And talk about giving back. 100% of their profits goes to Island Harvest to help end hunger on the island. Get Pintail wherever finer coffees are sold or go to pintailcoffee.com.
We're back with Conversations with Randy Shubin-Dresner. Before the break, we teased that we were going to talk a little bit about how COVID impacted our work-life balance. David, you're an attorney, a partner in a law firm. I know that you spent some parts of COVID home working remotely. That was a little complicated because prior to COVID, you'd get yourself dressed up in a suit and tie, pick up your briefcase, and walk out the door. During COVID, you got yourself all set up in a t-shirt and shorts and went into the room next door. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was strange coming home, although the way that we practice law has changed so that we did have some time at home. We got used to the fact that you could work remotely, and thankfully, because when COVID hit, I was prepared to work at home. But it is a drastic change. The couple of things that I learned from it, one that I couldn't really help because my space didn't allow it, but you should have a place to go, especially a door to shut so that your children know that when you're at that place during the day, it's a place where dad's working, mom's working, and we need to be quiet around there. We need not to interrupt, especially when the Zoom meetings are happening and the dogs are barking and the garbage man's coming. And all of these things are happening, but
sort of a visual, because you close the door and you're separating yourself, and so now it's a little bit more clear that you're at work.
Yes, and unfortunately, I haven't had the luxury to have the space for that, and I still don't. So, a lot of times, the kids will walk in, and I'm on a Zoom call, and the way you dress actually has something to do with it as well. As soon as that shirt and tie came on, my kids knew, oh, Dad's on his way to work. Mm-hmm. And now I'm, like you said, in a t-shirt and shorts, but I'm still doing the same serious work I was doing before. But it's difficult when they see me lounging around with the sandals on. They think, oh, Dad's just hanging out talking to his friends.
Right, yeah, they don't know. It's very hard for them to understand it. And plus, by the way, at the same time, they're also trying to struggle with doing remote schooling, which is a very complicated thing in itself. And so there was a whole lot of adjustment that had to happen. And you referenced this before, and I just wanted to touch on this. I do agree that COVID has added a little bit of a component of friendly and caring conversation, because I don't think I've had one meeting where either I started it or somebody else did. How are you? How'd you do? How'd you get through this? Is everybody okay? And I actually really believe that everybody's honest and they mean it. Mm-hmm. They care. And so I think you're right. It may help us as we all move forward with this blending versus balancing issue, that people will be a little bit more understanding about issues if it relates to your kids interrupting whatever you're doing.
Right. No, I absolutely. And I've seen, I mean, we had a little different situation, David. I'm an essential business. So I continued to go to work every day. We did not miss one day through the entire COVID era, as I call it. So it was interesting. So I had my oldest son is in college, but was home. I had two in high school, and I had one in junior high. And my husband was fortunate enough to be able to be at home with them. But I was going to work every day, and back and forth and back and forth. And I had to just accept the fact that I could not do it all at that point. Right. I could not be with all four of my sons as they were trying to navigate their way through remote education. Yeah. And I had to just accept that. And fortunately, my older guys were able to help the younger one. And, you know, it really became a family strategy on who's going to support who and how are we going to get this done. And Dave, to your point, my husband, much like you, sitting in a T-shirt trying to do his job from home with four kids trying to do the remote. Again, the relationships that were involved in getting through it, I think, were really critical. And the other with my employees, with the blending and you know, normally when they leave on a Friday evening, I would say, I'll see you Monday, and you don't talk about necessarily what all 80 employees are going to do over the weekend. But I had to, you know, really come down strong with my employees and say to them, you know, unfortunately, your personal life is my business. Before COVID, it really wasn't my business. But now your personal life is truly my business. And you have to respect that, and you have to respect your coworkers.
I think for our listeners, let's just say that it's your business, because what they do at home comes back to the office. And so if they were in a spreader event, for example, or just weren't careful, then everybody that they come in contact with at work is at risk.
Exactly.
It's a big
exactly.
concern.
And
it still is a concern now.
It is, especially with what's happening with the resurgence. So again, these lines that we talk about, you know, where does a CEO or a coworker draw the line between work conversation and home life? It really, I mean, another form of blending.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, suddenly it to your point, I can't have people going out, you know, and when really in the heart of it, I mean, when it was really quite serious. And we were fortunate. And the sensitivity of also the communication that you have with your employees or with your coworkers, you had to be delicate, but you had to be transparent at the same time.
You have to be direct. You have to just say it and be
exactly.
direct.
And understand the impact as a group.
Absolutely. So, David, how many times has it happened, and both of you really, the school calls and one of the kids are sick, or you find out that the bus didn't come to pick up your kids at school or in the morning, getting them onto the school bus. Oh my goodness, it changes your whole day, right?
Absolutely. It changes everything. You wake up every morning with a to-do list of what you're going to accomplish that day, and it gets blown up right away because something happens. It would happen to me a lot. I'd be halfway to work and find out that the Chromebook didn't make it to the school. And so I would get a call and I'd have to turn around and go back. Yeah, issues just like that. It's important to have people that you can rely on. Fortunate enough to have neighbors, my father, and others that I can rely on, that if I say, you know what, I'm on my way to work and you know, I have a closing that starts in 20 minutes and I cannot turn around right now.
Yeah.
So you have to have other people that you can rely on. And
hope it works. You're listening to Conversations with Randy Shubin-Dresner on WHLI 104.7 FM and 1100 AM. You know, years ago, when my daughter was 3 years old, I had been working for about 6 months on a project where the Emperor and Empress of Japan were coming to our organization, and I was one of the lead people on that project. It was a big deal. And the day arrived, and I was to be at work really early in the morning. I had a whole plan with our babysitter. So I woke up my daughter early, and guess what? Her eyes, both of them, were solid, shut, crusted with pink eye. And so, again, you just can't make these things up. And so you have to put plan B and plan C in order instantly so that you could get on with what you need to do. And sometimes it means that you just have to miss whatever the appointment is. But sometimes you're lucky enough to be able to call on family or friends to help out. But that adds another complication. Because, David, sometimes when family's involved, it gets complicated because you don't always agree with how they want to handle things. So talk to me a little bit about that.
I had that experience when my son was born. So now we're going back 15 years. Where my initial caretaker for several years, it was my mother and father, taking care of him while I went to work. I found it very helpful to establish rules in advance, which is not something something that formal between my mother and father and I never existed before. So, but it was important because I learned the hard way that they would make decisions for my child, which did not go well when I got home at the end of the day. And it was my parents, so I was the liaison. My wife didn't feel comfortable.
Right.
Although eventually she did.
Right.
But we found it better to sit down with my mother and father and say, listen, we love everything you're doing for us. We cannot get everything done without you, and we really appreciate it. But we are the mom and dad, and you are the grandparents, otherwise known as the spoilers. So we want to establish rules, and we really need you to respect it. And that conversation happening in advance was a huge help, because when those difficult conversations had to happen, they were ready for it in a way that they hadn't been prepared for it before.
That's good.
And it led to open and honest discussion, and it led to changes, which was great.
That's really important to do. Sometimes it's the hardest thing to do, to talk to a family member and explain that you're not comfortable with something that they did. It's almost easier if it's a babysitter than if it's family.
Absolutely.
But if you're open and honest and you are transparent about your feelings, I guess you work a lot of these things out and move on to the next issue. Look, I also know that there are a lot of times where there are colleagues that we're working with that don't have children. And so they may be older and never had children and haven't gone through all this, or they're young and they haven't started their family yet. And so it gets complicated with them as well, because that's where we need the blending at work to be smooth, and they're getting frustrated because we're not available all of a sudden because we have to run home because our child got sick at school or whatever it may be. So in our few minutes left, any thoughts about that?
Well, I was going to talk about actually the help that I got. I was blessed to find someone who also was able to blend my work and family life. So we're talking about different caregivers. I actually found an amazing young woman,
Jenny.
I call her my other life partner. So when all of my kids, I had one in preschool and three in elementary school, is when Jenny came into my life. And she became someone who understood who I was as a full individual. And so if I needed her to help at home with the kids, she was there. And then as the kids got older, she helped me more out as an executive assistant in the company, to which now, you know, as they're all teenagers, she's at GSE for the most part.
Awesome.
But also scheduling the doctor's appointments and following up with paying college tuition and fun things like that. She's the epitome of someone who has really looked at how I do blend and mix my lives as career woman and mother, and she really was enabling me to be able to do all of that.
It's awesome.
And finding that perfect person
I've met
a blessing.
Jenny, she's an incredible person. I had a Michelle. Hopefully, David, you're going to find somebody like that too, right?
Find.
You could be that person at home.
I did until COVID came, and we just had to just keep everyone safe by not bringing someone in. But I did have help. It was the one thing I was told when my wife passed away is, who's going to help with the kids? You know, it was a big focus for a lot of people that wanted to help me. And so I did have that help as well. I find that not only just the people that don't have children that put that demand on you and may not understand it, but even those that do, but the demands of corporate life are such that a deal has to get done in my field.
Yeah.
And I find, again, honesty and transparency works. Last week I was in the hospital. My son had fractured his clavicle and needed surgery to reconstruct it. And I was getting emailed quite a lot because of the access that we now all have. It's another change to corporate America.
Sure.
Is the 24-hour access that everyone has to you. And when I finally was able to say, actually I'm in the hospital, you know, with my son, the entire tone of the conversation changed entirely to, I'm so sorry, this can wait till tomorrow.
That's
it's
awesome.
Not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that that's, you know, don't, you know, when it is something that important and it's something that requires your time away, and to blend, well, I was going to say balance the other way, but concentrate on your family, that you just be transparent about that and just say, this is what's going on. And I find it to be very, very helpful.
And that's the blend, because you shared it with your colleague and they understood it and you were transparent about it. Yeah. This has been an absolutely amazing conversation. I wish we had twice the amount of time, because there are so many more things I wanted to dive into and to talk about. This has been Conversations with Randy Shubin-Dresner. We are broadcasting on WHLI 104.7 FM and 1100 AM from the studio at the Paramount in Huntington, New York. Special thanks to my producer, Hunter Highwell, and to Rosalind Smalls, who helped to make sure this show happens each week. And special thanks to our sponsors, Island Harvest Food Bank, and of course, Pintail Coffee, frankly, the best coffee around. Let's talk again next week, where you'll hear more great conversations from very interesting people. In the meantime, let's continue the conversation. Email me your thoughts and comments and suggestions at randy with an I at whli.com. Thanks a lot. Have a great week.